All right, welcome. Thank you for coming out tonight. So this is Biblical Discipline, so hopefully you're in the right place. If you want to go somewhere else, you can leave now, but this is Biblical Discipline. So if you don't know me, my name is Jason, and I'm one of the pastors here at Lighthouse. And I've been married now, my wife Amy, maybe you know her, for 12 years, going on 13 years. So we have a 9-year-old daughter, Taylor, and an 8-year-old son, Jared. So we've had a lot of practice in this whole discipline thing, you know, a lot of trial and error. You know, fortunately for us, we kind of did a lot of reading before we had kids, and we kind of thought about it a little bit. And so that helped a lot. So we're kind of on the same page going into it. But I would have to say we're still really growing and evolving in this area of discipline. And even this last Bible study, which most of you are in now, instructing a child's heart, we're like, oh yeah, we need to incorporate this and learn from this. So definitely a growing and evolving area for us. So, you know, if you see my kids running around and totally out of control, you know that it's a process for all of us. A process for them and a process for us as parents. So for those of you who are going through instructing a child's heart, you've probably been kind of wondering or thinking, hopefully the question's come up, what is my goal in parenting? And what is ultimately our goal? You know, is it well-behaved kids? Is it socially adept children? Is it good athletes, good students? You know, I think if we're honest with ourselves, all these things would be nice, right? And there's not necessarily anything wrong with kids who turn out that way. But hopefully, we've been seeing that the ultimate goal is to instruct our child's heart so that they may be worshipers of Christ, right? That's kind of what our study's about. So everything they do, whether they eat or drink, they do for the glory of God. To become worshipers, then, they need to be instructed, right? That's the point of the whole study. We need to instruct, we need to teach them, they need to learn, they need to be disciples of Jesus. And that's really our goal, to raise children to become disciples of Jesus. And so the Bible has a lot of instructions on how to do this. You know, one key verse, I put at the top here, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So God's given us this game plan on how to approach this. All right, it says bring them up in discipline and instruction. So, and it's not just saying any old discipline instruction. There's a lot of discipline instruction out there, but the Lord's discipline instruction. So it's got to be done God's way, and it's kind of this two-pronged approach, right? Discipline and instruction. You know, Proverbs talks a lot about raising our kids, and there's a lot of wisdom in there. And the same idea comes up in Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left himself brings shame to his mother. So again, rod and reproof, discipline, instruction. So tonight, we're going to kind of look at what does that mean? What does the Bible teach about that? How do we carry that out in the lives of our children? So let me open us in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this evening. We pray you just bless our time together as we look into your word. I'm thankful that the parents here are desiring to know how to raise their kids in this one instruction of your ways, Lord. So I pray that your spirit will just enlighten us, just speak through me clearly, and just bring truth into these parents' lives so that they may really bless their children through this. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I think often when we think of discipline, we think of punishment, right, for wrong behavior. That's what we think of discipline. But when you think of discipline, how often are you thinking about the heart? How often are you thinking about loving them? How often do you think about God's word in discipline? As we look into biblical discipline, I think it's really important to remember, it's crucial to know that discipline instruction really come hand in hand, the rod and reproof. Both tools need to be used wisely in proper balance and with love. You know, some of you guys know I like to play roller hockey. And one of the worst things that happens in roller hockey was when the ref throws you in the penalty box and doesn't tell you what you did. They say, get in the box. And you're like, well, you know, you're not even sure what happened, right? The good ref, he'll throw you in the penalty box, but then he'll also tell you what you did wrong and explain, you know, your arm was in the wrong place, you kind of obstructed next time. You're like, oh, I didn't know that was the rule, you know, and that helps. So discipline with instruction makes a big difference. You know, the Greek word for discipline can mean punishment and chastisement, but also includes the idea of teaching. While the Greek word for instruction conveys the idea of teaching, but also includes admonishment and warning. So there's this overlap. This discipline and instruction need to go hand in hand. So we're going to define discipline. I have it here on your handout. The process in which we correct our child's heart by driving out sin, or the Bible calls it folly or disobedience, and imparting truth, wisdom, and obedience, which leads to right hearts, correct behavior, and disciples of Jesus. Okay, so that's going to be our definition that we're going to work off of. Now, I know some of you are here, you're looking for the straight nuts and bolts, right? You just want, give me a flow chart. If my kid does X, I punish him with this. If my kid does Y, you know, and here's the thing, there's no flow chart for how we do this. You know, there are principles. And once we understand these principles and guidelines, then we can start applying them to our children. But every situation is different. You know, every child is a little different. Every outward behavior has a different heart issue behind it. So your children mature in different levels, different ways. So as your children mature, your discipline and instruction are going to change. Every situation is a little bit different. So we have to think through the principles and then figure out how to apply it to the particular situation. So to get us started, I want you guys to do a little case scenario, a little warm-up, okay? So maybe just in groups of like 3 or 4. Here's the situation. Your 13-year-old son is playing video games, and despite his younger brother's pleas to play, refuses to let him. I'm sure this never happens with Lighthouse kids, right? Instead, he yells at his brother to leave him alone and go away. You've addressed this in the past, and there is the understanding that the two boys are supposed to share the video game console. How would you specifically discipline your older son? All right, so just be honest, how would you right now, if this were your case, okay, how does your family handle this, or you as a couple? All right, don't look ahead and try to put in all my principles. Just how do you do it, okay? So spend just maybe like 5 minutes in a maybe just together groups of 3 and 4 and just discuss that real quick. All right, so for the sake of time, who's willing to share an example here? All right, I'm not going to judge. There's no right or wrong. Well, actually, there is some right or wrong, but I'm not going to judge. Yeah. Anybody over here want? Nicole does. You don't have to. Anybody? I have to call names.
I think I suggested that maybe I would just turn the system off and nobody gets to play.
Okay.
And then try to talk to the older brother later on.
Yeah.
To see what the issue is and okay. Talk about the whole issue of selfishness and stuff. But
good.
But that's kind of because we're going through the study, so.
Right. Thank you for being honest. That's good. I like that, talking to them about their selfishness. Anything else? No brave souls out there. Okay, that's okay. We'll get back to this, okay? We'll get back to this near the end. So let's look at some of this biblical teaching then. So the first is the rod, all right? The rod drives out sin, all right? You look at Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Now, what are some of the ways right now you guys... Sure, one. What are some of the ways we deal with our kids' bad behavior? Or some of the ways the world deals with it? Some of the ways I've done it and I've seen bribery. All right. I see this all the time at work. You know, I work at a physician's office and patients come in and the kid's not well behaved and the parent goes, you know what, you sit and be quiet for the doctor and I'll take you out for ice cream after. Right? And that usually works. What about threatening? You know, if you don't come here this instant, you're gonna get it. You know, how many of us have tried that, right? All of this. Or sometimes we just manipulate their environment. You have a 3-year-old who keeps playing in the toilet bowl. And instead of disciplining him, teaching him not to do that, you just put up a gate so that they can't get in there, right? And that's our method of dealing with it. Or we just let them figure it out. We give them a timeout. We tell them to go sit in the corner. We say, go to your room and think about what you did. But then we never really follow up and explain to them. We just hope that they get it, right? And so on. You know. And the problem is that none of these methods are really getting to the heart of the matter. Right, we've been learning from our study that the battleground for raising our kids and the heart of the matter is the heart. Right, it's the desires of the heart that lead to good or bad fruit in the child. You know, we heard selfishness. When a child loves self or loves pleasure or man's approval, then what does he do? He takes toys from other kids. He's a temper tantrum when he doesn't want to, when he doesn't get to go to the park, or he fights with mom about what to wear to school that day. But when his heart desires to please God and his ways, then he'll share with others lovingly. He obeys his parents promptly, gladly chooses youth group over the school party that night. So it's the sin in the heart that we're trying to drive out. That's the root of the problem. And that's what God is telling us. With the rod, we need to drive out this folly. And notice it doesn't say, you know, work on the behavior. You know, teach them to act properly. But instead, deal with the sin in the heart first and foremost. So what is the rod? And there's a lot of kind of confusion, different interpretations of this. So the term, it refers to a stick or a branch used by shepherds, kind of like their staff, right? And is used to guide, to lead, to reprove, and to punish wayward lambs. So some will look at this and say, you know, maybe we should just focus on the positive aspects of the rod, you know, the guidance and the nurturing. But the Bible is pretty clear. You look at Proverbs 23, 13 to 14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with the rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. So clearly, there's an aspect of punishment, the punishment side of the rod in view here. You know, just like the word for discipline, the rod has aspects of both guidance and punishment. And so we must understand the rod does include corporal punishment. So the most common form of this is seen in spanking a child. The Bible doesn't say specifically how and where to strike, but the tush, you know, the gluteus maximus, is it makes sense because it'll sting, but there's enough padding that it won't injure them. And I know there's kind of a growing cultural taboo against this, and nowadays you potentially could get in trouble for spanking your child, in public. But the rod is what the Bible teaches, and I think we need to follow that. You know, as I've spoken to some of the older folks at our church, they'll tell me how when they were kids, their teachers would spank them. You know, it's like the good old days. I think that's what they meant by that. But obviously, that doesn't happen too much anymore. Now, there are a lot of good books that talk about spanking and how to and such, and you can read those on your own. I put some resources at the back of this. But let me give you a few key ideas when you're thinking about this type of using the rod. One, it is an act of faith, all right? Again, despite what the world teaches, the rod is God's principal way of discipline. And even though psychologists may claim that the rod might lead to angry kids or violent kids when they grow up, or it hurts their self-esteem, you know, we trust God's way is always better, and it actually works. Number two, it's an act of love. The most loving thing we can do for our children is help them to be more like Christ. And discipline is the biblical method for this. Hebrews 12, 5, 6 tells us, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." So ultimately, it is an act of love. You know, some people say, well, that's just not loving to spank my son. Finally, it's a punishment. It's meant to hurt so that our children understand the seriousness of their sin and their need to obey God. Now, some of you have never spanked your child, and there are probably all kinds of reasons. So my question for you is, where are you basing your reasons? You know, are you basing them in the world's wisdom or in God's wisdom? In Proverbs 13:24, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." You know, my kids, they're 8 and 9, so we still once in a while spank them, but not as much. When they were younger, like 4 or 5, it was like a daily thing sometimes. And so the way we go about it, first, it has to be clear disobedience, okay? It's not just a preference thing or, you know, they're just immature. But clearly, they're disobeying me, Amy, God. And so what we'll do, we sit them down and we explain to them their sin. And this is what you did wrong. This is what the Bible says you should do. And then we explain their punishment. You know, the Bible tells us to give you a spanking, a chastisement. And then we make sure that we're punishing out of love, not anger. Okay, that's very important. Your kids, I think, will know the difference if you're punishing them out of anger. And for me, we have like a little wooden spoon that we'll use. And if it's not convenient, I'll just use my hand. You know, I don't think there's necessarily one way for that. And again, it's to sting, not injure, so you shouldn't be leaving welts or bruises. You know, a little redness is probably okay. And then it's done. And then I hug them, I tell them I love them, and we pray. Okay, and I usually have them pray to ask for forgiveness. So that's what kind of looks like in our family. So that's the first idea, the rod drives out sin. Okay, but then on the flip side of that, reproof brings wisdom. Reproof brings wisdom. So Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. So again, the point of discipline is not just to punish our kids for what they did wrong and hope they won't do it again. Instead, we're trying to get to their hearts so they can understand the sin and the idols that are going on. You know, as we drive them out, we need to help them understand and practice godly desires. For example, you know, a lot of kids desire control over situations. And those are the kids who sometimes will get real anxious when they don't have that control. So what they need to learn is to trust that God is in control. And this what this then does, it leads to wisdom. You know, not only are these kids learning these great truths, we're trying to teach them how to live these truths out in practical ways. So say your kid happens to struggle with selfishness. All kids do, right? And so you're teaching them to try to be generous and to love others. So let's say you've disciplined them for a selfish act. You're teaching them, you know, how generous God is. Maybe you're giving examples of people who have been generous to us as a family. And so you're speaking this truth into them. So wisdom then would be seen if maybe the next day they're at school, one of the kids forgets his lunch, and your child thinks, you know what, God's calling me to be generous, and shares part of their lunch with them. That would be wisdom carrying itself out. So that's the hope we're trying to teach our kids in this process of rod and reproof. In Hebrews 12:11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So as our children learn wisdom, they get to see this peaceful fruit of righteousness grow in their lives. And don't we all want that for our kids? So part of the discipline process, we need to make sure, you know, we're teaching them right from wrong, teaching about their hearts, but we're also teaching them the right way to live. So the rod drives out sin, and reproof imparts wisdom. Straightforward, right? So we're all done here. And now the trick, obviously, is how do we put this into practice, right? That's the trick. So point three, putting it all together. You know, so how do I do this? Like I said earlier, the process of discipline instruction is going to evolve over time because our kids are evolving and growing. So I think what helps is if we look at some general stages of childhood, from birth to when basically the kids leave the house. And as we look through these different stages, we'll kind of look at what kind of characterizes these stages. What kind of things do we need to think about for our kids? What things should they be learning? What kind of wisdom should we be imparting and entire discipline into that? So we'll start with the infancy to childhood. So like birth to 4 or 5. So at this age, kids, you know, they're generally pretty selfish. They're clueless. They're helpless. They do whatever pleases them, right? You guys all, most of you have kids this age. They don't have much of a filter. They don't know they're right from wrong. They're left from right. And one of the key truths they need to learn here is that they are under authority. Okay, so this is one of the key truths for this age group. They're under authority. And they need to learn obedience to God through obeying their parents. That's how God set this up. So Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, you are under the authority of your parents. So we need to teach them that we are in charge. And ultimately, it's for their well-being, for their physical well-being, ultimately their spiritual well-being. And this is really an important life lesson for all kids to learn. You know, we're all helpless. We're all clueless. We all need to obey God to live well. And so as we teach them right from wrong, we know what's best for them. So the key teaching then is to teach them to honor and obey. You know, Deuteronomy 5:16, this was, I think, the first chapter of our study. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So in this stage, age group, discipline is usually more rod, not so much reproof yet. You know, their understanding is limited, but it's growing. You know, I think spanking, chastisement needs to be done quickly and associated with whatever the offense was. So the child understands that what they did was wrong. and that they need to obey their parents. Instruction, I think, is kept pretty simple at this point. It's very straightforward. You know, when our kids were about 1.5, I would say, we could already tell the difference between them just being a toddler who didn't know better and them being disobedient. I think all parents, you can tell, right, the difference. And they were when they were clearly not obeying, we would chastise them. So, for example, when they were reaching for something, and you would say, no, don't reach for that, don't do that. And they would look at you, right, and they would give a little smile, and then keep going, right? You know they're purposely not obeying you. And so I think they should get a chastisement, maybe a little slap of the hand or on the thigh. And you tell them this is wrong, you know, that it's important that you listen to mommy and daddy. And I think, again, it's good to start teaching basic truths of God. Teach about that God loves them, that God's way is good, that we should follow God's way through mommy and daddy, through the parents. Teach them to trust in God. You can start teaching them to love others. You know, share your toys with others. Wait patiently for your turn. Be kind to your friends. Again, what if you're in the camp that's never spanked your child before? Maybe your kids are even older than this. You know, I think if that's the case, I think you should seriously think about this area. You know, if they're old enough, you should sit them down, explain to them as parents that, you know, you have not been obeying God in this area. You can read passages from Proverbs to them even and explain that God has called you as parents to discipline with the rod and that your kids, when the kids are disobedient. And you can even ask them for forgiveness. Sorry, we haven't been obeying God in this area. And then make sure you explain to them under what circumstances will they get disciplined. And share, you know what, this is not easy for us either, but we're doing this because we love you. You know, it's never too late, I think, to start this process. So in the infant toddler stage, one of the key things to impart to your children is that they are under authority, okay, and that they need to honor and obey. Now let's move forward, childhood to teenager. So at this stage, the child is starting to make their own choices, right? They're developing their own personality. They still need structure, but the structure is no longer under the constant supervision of the parents. You know, at this age, they're in school 6 or 7 hours a day. They're starting to choose their own friends. They're learning to interact with their peers. They're developing outside interests, music, arts, sports. So at this stage, we need to continue to learn obedience, but I think the focus now really shifts to building character. Okay, so from child to teenager, it's building character. You know, things like humility, honesty, kindness, compassion. You know, I think we have Galatians 5:22, right? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So at this stage, I think there is a balance with rod and reproof. As it slowly shifts, I think there's a balance, and it'll eventually shift more to reproof. At this age, I think the child can begin to understand their hearts. You can explain to them, they can get what that means. So I think the instruction needs to start becoming deeper. So one of the key teachings is the biblical process of change, the put off, renew, put on. If you have your Bibles, why don't you open to this? Ephesians 4. Let me read that. It says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So this is the biblical process of change. Put off, renew, put on. You know, when we do counseling here, we use this passage all the time because this is the same idea. As we're helping counselors deal with their heart issues, it's put off, renew, put on. So we need to put off kind of the old sinful heart desires. We need to teach our children to put those things off. We need to renew their thinking in their hearts, you know. And then they want to put on right desires, desires for God, desire to follow his ways. So Paul, it's nice in this passage, right away he gives us some illustrations to really make sure you understand what's going on. So let's look at verse 25. So let's say your child is struggling with honesty. You've caught him lying, or her lying, okay. What does it say here? Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So you see here, the put off, obviously, is falsehood. The put on is speaking truth. But then recognize right at the end, it says, for we are members of one another. So this is where this heart change, this renewal takes place. So this verse is telling us, we need to tell the truth because what? We are members of one body. What we do affects others. What this is saying is, the liar, they don't think of others, they just think of themselves. The liar is trying to manipulate the situation, you know, tries to get his own way, is trying to get others to think better of him. So these are the heart issues that need to change. Instead of loving himself, loving his reputation, or loving comfort, he needs to learn to love others. He's members of a church family. So these are the kind of things we want to be teaching our children as we go through the process of disciplining. So one of the first things we need to do when we catch our child in some type of offense is try to help them understand their hearts. You know, why are they doing what they are doing? So how do we do this? You know, we struggled with this a little bit in our small group, trying to figure out, how do we do this? Well, I think the first thing is we need to ask our kids, why are you doing what you're doing? You know, why are you complaining about going to grandma's? You know, is it maybe something you'd rather be doing? You know, maybe he realized he just wants to play video games. So he doesn't want to go to grandma's. You know, why don't you want to go to bed now? Could it be you want to be and act like more like an adult? You know, why are you upset that you didn't score a goal today? Is it because you want your teammates to like you? You know, is it because you want mommy and daddy to love you? You know, sometimes it's our idols that are coming through in our kids even. So we need to help draw out these false idols, these desires. You know, are they loving pleasure? Are they loving comfort? Are they loving man's applause? And we need to realize that oftentimes these same idols, they'll manifest itself in various ways in your child's life. And as parents, it's our job to look for these patterns, to see kind of these recurring idols so we can help them deal with it. So as you can see, there's no one way to bring reproof, right? We need to tailor a way that works for your child. So when my children entered about first grade, you know, they could start writing a little bit. So part of our discipline would include that they would have to write a letter to mom and dad, okay? So after an appropriate chastisement, then we would explain to them what they did wrong, and we wanted them to find a good biblical verse to either speak about what they need to put off or put on, all right? So recently, my son, he was disobedient. And so I told him, write daddy a letter and pick a good verse to talk about this. So he picked Ephesians 6, 2 to 3. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land, all right? So again, there's the put off and put on, right? Put off disobedience, put on honoring your father and mother. And then I sat and talked to him about his heart. You know, I said, you know, he was loving his own way rather than God's way. That's why he's been disobedient. And here there's a great blessing, right? You live long and well. I mean, he picked a good verse for this. If he learned to love God's way. All right. My daughter, one of her big things that we're working on is she complains a lot. And so she writes this, she uses this verse a lot when we have her write. My daughter, it's Philippians 2:14. Do all things without grumbling or questioning. All right, that's her theme verse right now. So we talked about how she needs to put off complaining and she needs to put on thankfulness. So we talked about that, like gratitude. And oftentimes she complains because she wasn't getting her own agenda. You know, we don't get to go handles today, and she starts complaining, right? So this is what we mean when we're talking about working with your kids and teaching them God's truth. Now, not all your kids may be at this stage, you know, but I think it's an opportune time to sit with them and teach them key truths to speak to their hearts. Maybe instead of having them find a verse, you sit and help find a verse for them, you know. And again, there are other ways. You don't have to do it this way, but this is just one way where you can really help them understand the put off, put on, and their heart. And part of every reproof should involve those things. You know, what heart change is needed. So does this sound a little bit daunting? Maybe a little scary for some of us? You know, I think a common thing is, well, I don't know enough scripture, you know. And well, here's the thing. We talk about this in our small group a lot too. If you're going to discipline and instruct in the Lord's way, you need to know the Lord's way, right? You know, we need to know and be living out God's word to be good parents. Your kids are going to follow what we teach as well as how we live. So I hope this doesn't discourage you, but encourages you to get into God's word all the more. And we need to be growing as parents. to train and bring up our children. You know, when we have kids, it's not just boom, you know what to do, and you know all the scripture. It's training. We need to learn ourselves. This also means that as parents, if you're in a marriage, both are Christians, you need to be on the same page. You should be meeting regularly, discussing, when and how you're going to discipline. One of the worst things if you're inconsistent, right? If you discipline one time for this and the next time you don't, the kids, it drives them crazy, right? It's not a great way to raise your kids. Or if one parent does and the other parent is, if it's a really good cop, bad cop, the kids figure that out pretty quickly. So you want to be consistent and on the same page. Amy and I do this a lot. We meet, for our kind of couples time, and we talk about the kids. And we think about what idols are they dealing with. We strategize. How are we going to help them deal with these idols? Because we can recognize right away which are the big ones for them. So in the early adolescent ages, we're focused on character by dealing with heart desire. Okay. Let's move on to teenagers. Now, if you guys have questions, we'll try to have some time at the end for questions. But I want to get through this information first. So teenagers, if you remember the stage, there's a lot of change going on, right? Hormonal, there's a lot of responsibility, relationships. And with that, there's a lot of insecurity. Insecurity about how you look, right? About the changes going on in your body. Insecure about what people think, how you're going to fit into school, about becoming an adult, about the greater responsibility, about your first job, so on and so forth. They're even insecure about their beliefs. They're hearing and learning about these different world philosophies and ideas, and they might even begin questioning their own ideas. And they're trying to figure out how to form opinions on current issues and events. And the list goes on. So the main goal, then, in this stage is to develop and live out a Christian worldview. Okay, develop and live out a Christian worldview. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. We want to teach our kids how to use their time well, how to make wise choices. Okay? And to do that, they have to do it God's way. They need to see the world through the lens of Scripture, through a Christian worldview. So some kind of ideas you want to think about at this stage particularly is, you want to teach them to fear God and not fear man. You want them to follow God's instructions rather than the world's instructions. You want to teach them not to walk in the way of the wicked, but to walk in God's way. So the key teaching here is the sowing and reaping principle. Galatians 6, 7, 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So as our teenagers, they're becoming more independent. They're starting to make their own choices and decisions. They need to understand this idea of reaping and sowing. If they're sowing sinful desires and choices, there are consequences. They will reap difficulty in life. Proverbs 13:15, the way of the sinner is hard. That's a biblical truth. The way of the sinner is hard. But if they're learning to sow godly desires and choices, life generally will be easier, will be more blessed. And that's an important thing to learn at that age. You're very short-sighted in your thinking at that age. So our instruction, we need to show them their choices and that the way they interact with the world has consequences, good and bad. So at this age, there's much less rod, all right, and mostly reproof. Oftentimes, the consequences of their bad decisions are disciplined enough at this age. However, I think there's still different forms of punishment we can use. With older teens and even older children, sometimes you can take away privileges, such as maybe going out with friends for teens, or no play dates for the younger ones, or we do with our kids sometimes, no media. That just kills them. No media for a day, right? In this area, I think we should be creative in trying to tailor the punishments that will speak to the situation, that will instruct and involve the heart as much as possible. So remember that 13-year-old boy hogging the video game, right? So I think the easy thing to do, and I think a wise thing, is to take away the video game, all right? But we want to talk to them about their heart. What's he doing? He's being selfish, right? He's loving his own pleasure. So what would that reap? What kind of things does that reap? I think one thing selfishness will reap is they'll have trouble in relationships because they're always taking but never giving, right? They're not really learning to love others. So one punishment I think would be appropriate is to say, you know what, you're not going to be able to play with any of your friends this week. And you explain to them because the heart of selfishness negatively affects and can ruin relationships in your future. So by not letting you see your friends, this is a tangible consequence of what a ruined relationship could be. All right, and you want them to think of that. And you could even take it a step further. You know, that's kind of the put off. You could even teach them to put on. Instead of selfishness, you want to talk about being generous, loving others. So during that week, you could give them tasks to do, like you go clean up your younger brother's room. All right, and I don't want you to do it grumbling, but do it with a heart that desires to serve and love others. You give them tasks at home to serve the family. And so you're really trying to get them to grow a servant's heart. So I think bringing in this whole concept of sowing and reaping, it's kind of like the put on, put off on steroids, right? It really trying to tie it all together into long-term consequences. So remember, we're trying to teach these teens to develop and live out a Christian worldview. And this world, it often rewards and promotes the exact opposite of what we're trying to teach. It says self-sufficiency is good, self-esteem. Look out for number one. You know, he with the most toys wins. So we need to train our children to realize that if they sow these type of worldly truths, ultimately it's going to lead to ruin. You know, short term, you may have some blessing, but ultimately it leads to ruin. So instead, you should be putting on Christian virtues, humility, preferring others over self, dying to one's own interests for the interest of others, learning to depend on God and not self. These are the kind of things that will help them develop a Christian worldview. Now again, this means as parents, we have to be constantly involved in our children's lives. You know, we have to help them understand their hearts. We need to help recognize what are some of the false idols that are pulling at their hearts. And what are the false truths that they're buying into so that we can help correct, rebuke, restore, and grow them to be disciples of Jesus? Again, not easy, right? You know, my kids aren't even teenagers yet, but I can already see how media, how the things they learn from friends in school, and even my own idols are giving them a false worldview, tainting the way they think. Now, we can protect and shelter our kids from, you know, some of the more egregious sinfulness out there, but realize many of these messages, they're very subtle and they're ubiquitous, you know. So we're better off teaching them a Christian worldview so that they may recognize the lies of the world. You know, we can't remove them from all these influences, but we can surely talk to them about what these influences are teaching and why we need to be careful not to listen to these influences. So continue to teach our kids a Christian worldview and help them also just to see the blessing of living out this kind of worldview. There's great blessing in it. All right, so we've looked through kind of these three stages and these kind of three key things to think about during these stages. But realize these aren't hard and fast in any way. You know, some 3- and 4-year-olds can understand the heart and understand deeper truths. You know, older grades kids, they should start understanding reaping and sowing already. Some teenagers still need to work on obedience, right, and character. I mean, this is a continuing process. That's why, again, there's no flow chart here. Instead, you know, think through these principles, obedience to authority, right? Put off, renew, put on so that we may build character. Think about sowing and reaping so we develop an appropriate Christian worldview. And then think about the situation that's at hand. You know, maybe one of these teachings would be appropriate for that. Maybe all three would be appropriate for that time. And tailor the discipline, the teaching to that. And so, again, the goal is you're trying to grow your child to be spiritually mature and to pursue righteousness. And these are all tools to do that. All right. I was going to close with a case study, but I think we need to be done soon. So there's a case study there. You can think through that on your own. You know, your 9-year-old daughter is angry and complaining about her basketball team lost today. She complains that her coach never plays her enough. Her teammates aren't passing, and never want to play on that dumb team again. So obviously there's a lot of heart issues going on here that you can think through, and maybe you can talk about it with your spouse, you know, tonight. How would we handle this? Because something like this will probably come up at some point if it hasn't already, right? It's good to think through. But just some kind of closing thoughts. So as we've been kind of sharing, biblical discipline, it takes a lot of work, right? It's more than just a couple of well-placed whacks on the behind, obviously. But I hope that, again, you see this is really the loving thing to do. You know, God teaches it, commands it. It's his way. Therefore, we have to trust that it does work. In the end, it blesses our children. And it makes our life easier, too, as parents. But remember, ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that changes our children's hearts. You know, it's not simply our chastisement and instruction. It's the Spirit. We are the vehicle through which God's grace works. So change is not going to happen overnight for your kids. Just because you discipline once and taught them once, you all know this, right? It's not like they wake up tomorrow angels. You may find yourself disciplining your kids for the same issues over and over again until they get it. You know, it's no different for adults. You know, God disciplines us over and over again to teach us sometimes. So that means pray for your children. You know, be faithful to them in how you're disciplining and instructing them. You know, it's so easy to get lazy in this area, but be faithful. And again, trust that the Lord, he'll do a good work through this. Finally, discipline should always involve teaching, all right? But teaching doesn't always involve discipline. Because discipline is needed when our children are disobedient. But we should be teaching all the time, right? We should have that milieu of instruction. When we're having, you know, regular times of family worship and devotionals, when we're taking advantage of those teachable moments, when we're pointing our kids to God's truth and to Christ, you know, when our kids are coming here and getting exposed to God's truth and wisdom, you know, then it makes it that much easier when we're reproving them, right? It's not like this is the first time they've heard this. We bring this truth into their life, like, oh yeah, I know that. But what we're trying to do is help them live that out to bring wisdom. So I hope this was helpful. I hope this put a little structure and maybe a little clarity into this great task that we have as parents, but also the great privilege we have in bringing up our kids in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Know that as leaders, we've been praying for you guys, and we will continue to pray for you as parents. And we're always available to help. You know, we have a lot of resources at church, books, if you like to look at. We can pray for you guys. If you just want some guidance, counseling, sit and talk, we'd love to help out in this area. Okay, this has always been on our hearts, and we're so happy that we finally got to this parenting series. We've been talking about this for years to try to get to this, and it's been a blessing, I think, for all of us. So let me close in a word of prayer, then we'll have about 5 minutes for questions if you have any. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for this task of parenting, of raising our children in your instruction and discipline. Yet we recognize that it is a daunting task, Lord, that there is a lot involved with it, and that often we struggle just to be proactive and diligent in the way we discipline. So we ask for your strength, we ask for your grace, for your mercy as we set about to do this task. We ask that as parents, we are continually just thinking through and communicating with our spouses on how to best raise our kids. And we pray that we may love them, Lord. We may love them through instruction. We may love them through discipline, Lord. And we pray for our kids that your Spirit is working in them to bring about salvation as well as bring about sanctification, Lord. So we thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so any questions from anybody? If not, yeah.
Yeah. How do you expect them to put off and put on when they're not yet, you know? Like,
right.
I mean, I know you're just plenty of faith in that, in the hopes that they do develop those, you know.
Right.
But it's hard to, like, you know, you get frustrated because they're not living, you know, doing what a true believer would do.
Right.
They're not there
right.
yet. You
know? Yeah, that's a great question, you know, because we don't know for sure if and when they become Christians. A lot of kids profess and they're not necessarily. And the danger is that we're just raising Pharisees, right? But I think there's still blessing in teaching them about their hearts. Even when they're not Christian, there's still blessing to that, so they may understand that concept. And even without the Holy Spirit, you know, I think there's still practical benefits from that. But I think you're right. Recognizing that, we should always bring in grace to that. And there are times, I didn't share this, where I may withhold chastisement as an act of grace for my children. And we talk about that. I also do it by explaining to them, you know, God is gracious to us, and I'm going to be gracious to you and show you mercy. Yeah, but that's a good question.
I'm going to ask the same question.
Oh, okay. Anything else?
So you were just saying that there are some situations where you might actually not confront or not go through that teaching just because you felt like the grace was more deep. Can you explain that a little more?
So I think there will be times we'll still talk about what went wrong, what the offense was, but I may, as an act of grace, not chastise them. And just talk, or maybe make the discipline not as painful, you know, maybe simpler. And again, that changes depending on the offense. I think if you've talked about something with your child and they're working on it, you know, they're not going to be perfect in that area. So I think there's more grace in that too. And a lot of times they'll say, yeah, I know, I shouldn't have complained, I'm still working on it. And I'm not going to chastise them every single time they do that. But I know we've talked about it and they're working on it. So they're repentant and, yeah.
How do you deal with discipline in inopportune times?
Inopportune times?
Like, you know, you're somewhere really, really public, or, you know,
yeah, that's a good question. We have, like in restaurants and stuff, we have taken our kids out to the car and disciplined them in the car when they're younger. As they're older, it'll be more just talking and explaining. We're going to talk about this because they remember. You know, I think when they're younger, you want to connect it quickly because if you wait 3 hours, a lot of two-year-olds aren't going to remember what they did, right? And then it becomes a little pointless. So at that young age, we'll take them out to the car and deal with it. As they're older, you know, now, we'll, if we're in public, we'll tell them what you did was wrong. We're going to talk about it when we get home. So, yeah, sometimes it's not practical, though, you know. And they're complaining while they do it?
More like discipline on top. I mean,
that's right.
Like grumbling and complaining, like I feel like that would be hard. But my kids are only 4, so I don't. My oldest is only 4, so it's hard for me to see, you know.
Right. So ultimately, we got to get to the heart again. And, you know, if they're being selfish, you're teaching them to be generous, and they're complaining about that, then you need to teach them about being thankful. Also, you know, and heart idol after heart idol, right? But I think it's good to talk about that. And I think it's important if you say part of your punishment is going to be cleaning your brother's room, but you need to focus on doing it with a loving and generous heart, you know, help them do that. And no kid's going to do it perfectly, you know, and part of them's going to grumble. But you want to at least address that and help them through that. It's a process, right? It's of us. Your kids, we all are still selfish. We all still grumble, right? So it's an ongoing process, but we want to at least point them in that direction, get them going that way. Anything else? Well, thank you. I think we need to head back.